Dit is Hour of Power. Iedereen van harte welkom bij dit bijzondere programma wat elke zondagmorgen tussen 9 en 10 uur wordt uitgezonden. We gaan zo meteen naar de Crystal Cathedral en daar wordt geïnterviewd als speciale gasten Emily Schreiber. Ze is 14 jaar jong, ze heeft een zeldzame thymuslijmziekte en door die ziekte heeft ze heel veel met ziekenhuisopname en problemen te maken. En om mensen te helpen die ook die ziekte heeft, ging ze op jonge leeftijd, nu op deze leeftijd al, geld inzamelen en honderdduizenden dollars heeft ze bij elkaar gezameld. Een koor, een speciaal kinderkoor zingt in de Crystal Cathedral, het World Help Choir, allerlei nationaliteiten. En als gast bij Out of Power Nederland, Judy Wagenaar. Zij helpt mensen die in een rouwfase zitten en vooral jonge mensen die bijvoorbeeld een ouder hebben verloren. En dat doet ze op haar speciale manier. Wij gaan naar de Crystal Cathedral en ik hoop dat iedereen zal genieten van deze uitzending.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power, now celebrating our 37th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
Turn around, shake hands with somebody close to you. Give them a blessing. We have a wonderful hour planned for you this morning, together with musicians, with messages, with words, with thoughts. God is here, and if you don't believe it, listen to what your brain will do. He'll be working through it. He'll be sending thoughts. Listen to what your emotional system is going to be responding to: moods, memories, big moments. This is the God who is real, and he's here, and he'll be working in you. So,
that's right.
That's why we can say, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Oh God, you are the omnipotent Creator and Father, and you are the still small spirit that comes into our minds, our moods, our memories, our meditations, and our messages. Beautiful things have happened for 50 years, and beautiful things will be resounding in the whole world today through this hour of church service, where we welcome Russians and Arabs and Chinese, people around the globe by the millions. We are one church, and we love you, God, and we follow Jesus Christ. Amen. may be seated. The scripture lesson this morning is from the book of Psalms, chapter 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who love him. As far as the east is from the west, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who trust him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. Bless the Lord, O my soul. May God add his blessing to the reading of this his holy word.
Well, it is with great pleasure and admiration that I introduce you to our guest today. She has been featured on The Today Show, Fox News, and ABC. Her story has appeared in Sports Illustrated for Kids, and the American Girl magazine. At the age of 9, Emily Schreiber was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis. And rather than retreating, she threw her heart and mind into making a positive difference. Her original goal was to raise $3,000 for cystic fibrosis research. But after exceeding that by $57,000, she made it her passion to swim laps to raise money for the illness. To date, She has raised over $600,000 for the disease and continues to hold fundraisers to support research. Today, nearly 100,000 people all around the world live with cystic fibrosis and suffer from its debilitating symptoms. Emily swims against the odds and is fueled by her faith in Jesus Christ and his power for her life. Would you please welcome to the Crystal Cathedral this amazing young woman. Emily, God loves you and so do we. Welcome to the cathedral.
Oh, thank you.
So, you have cystic fibrosis.
Yes.
What is that? Because you look like the epitome of health.
Oh, well, cystic fibrosis is a genetic disease that causes the chlorine gene to be defected, so the salt and water can't move around your body the right way, and this can cause lung infections and digestion problems. So
basically, it's like an autoimmune disease?
Kind of.
sort of, huh?
Yes.
So what kind of symptoms do you have?
Well, it really varies from patient to patient. Usually, it's just digestion problems, and there will be lung problems, which can lead to lung infections, and sometimes lung transplants, and routine hospital visits.
How did you start swimming?
Well, I really enjoyed it, so I joined a swim team, and then I'm not, like, the best of my team or anything. I just do it for fun, so.
Well, you've got to be pretty good because you've raised a lot of money swimming, haven't you?
Yes, we've raised so much money, and like you said, our original goal is only $3,000, and it's just grown with the help of so many people and my family and my friends and Alabama and Auburn University and just so many different places and people have helped us.
So how do you do it? How do you raise the money?
Well, we have swimathons, and we also, with the help of the Boomer Esiason Foundation, are going to try to take these events all across the country. So we're really excited about that, and it's really gotten so big.
So your research, do you know anything that's taking place in the research currently?
I know that there is so much going on, different medicines and things to just make it more manageable because people take 20 to 40 pills a day and do lung treatments every day at least once. And so I think if you could just compact that, that'd be huge. But we're also giving some of the money not only to research, but also to care clinics and people who can't pay for all their medicines, and that's let us create the Laps for Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. So it's been really exciting.
So you started the foundation yourself with some help of some friends?
With the help of my parents and my brothers, Scott and William, and everybody is just in our whole community and all over been so supportive, and it's just grown before our very eyes.
So what are some of your goals?
I would love to find a cure for cystic fibrosis and also just to help people. That's my favorite thing because, like, I know in the hospital in Alabama, there are, like, 15 people doing treatments right now in the hospital. So if you could just help them, then that's what I really want to do.
You want to help people who are hurting?
Yes.
and there's no question you can do that.
Oh, thanks.
And you are doing it. You're doing a really good job of it.
Thanks.
Yeah, so you have a faith in Jesus Christ, yes. Don't you?
Yes. Jesus has really helped me through this, and I know that there's really a silver lining to the cloud of CF because I've gotten to meet all kinds of people and I think really make a difference. And I don't think I could say it. I think I'll tell you my favorite Bible verse because it says it better than any of the words I could babble. But if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible for you. And I just love that.
It's a great verse, isn't it? Yeah, it shows what faith can do if we'll just put a little bit of faith. Not a lot, because the mustard seed's pretty small, isn't it?
Very small.
And so that's all the faith you have is the faith of a grain of mustard seed.
Yeah.
And you can tell your mountains to move.
Right.
And they'll move. Well, you've been doing that.
Well, Well, thank you.
And the mountains are moving. You've raised $600,000. Do you think you'll raise some more?
Well, I know that my dad told me the other day that we've gotten almost up to $700,000. So it just every day it's getting more and more. And like I said, my family helps me so much. And my brothers, Scott and Will, made a website, lapsforcf.org. And it's just everyone has helped us so much, like I said earlier. And I just don't think I could put it into words.
Well, Emily, we want to thank you for your sincere faith and love in Jesus Christ and for having the ability to just go out there and make a difference in people's lives by raising some money. And we want to pray for you, too, because we know that God's going to do a wonderful thing for you.
Well, thank you.
And help you with your cystic fibrosis. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for Emily and for every single person who's fighting with CF today. Just keep them strong and keep them healthy and eliminate their symptoms, and may they continue to just live a life full of your peace and your goodness. Amen. Now, before you go, I want to give you a special gift. We are giving this to people who make a difference in our lives today. That's for you.
Thank you.
And it's
so
our
much.
Way of saying thank you for everything you do
thank
and
you.
Are doing to help so many people.
Thank
God
you.
God bless you, Emily.
Thank you.
God loves you, and so do you.
Een prachtig lied gezongen door bijzondere kinderen van het World Help Choir Kinderkoor. Bijzonder is dat al deze kinderen weeskinderen zijn. Het zal je maar gebeuren dat je je vader en je moeder verliest. Nou, dat overkomt natuurlijk ook heel veel kinderen en jongeren in Nederland. En het verdriet is natuurlijk pijloos en begrijpt iedereen je wel. Judy Wagenaar zit bij het onderwijs, trouwkijkster van Hour of Power. En zij vangt juist jongeren en kinderen op die met dat probleem zitten. Hoe verwerk ik dat onmetelijke verlies? Mijn moeder is doodgegaan of mijn broertje leeft niet meer. Judy, ik denk dat dat een impact maakt die we eigenlijk niet goed kunnen begrijpen.
Nou, dat is wel zeker, want... Misschien heb je het zelf niet meegemaakt, maar mensen van mijn leeftijd en jouw leeftijd verliezen vaak hun ouders. En dan merk je bij jezelf hoe moeilijk het al is om na een dag of vijf na de begrafenis weer aan je werk te gaan, dingen te doen die je altijd deed. Want de wereld is toch nooit hetzelfde. En stel je dan eens voor dat je 13, 14 jaar bent. Je vindt je moeder dood in bed of je vader sterft plotseling aan kanker. Er gaat een ziekbed aan vooraf, dat kan ook nog. En dan gaat de wereld gewoon door. En jij moet naar de begrafenis doen alsof dat voor jou ook zo is. Dat vragen wij eigenlijk van kinderen. En dat is onmogelijk, want de wereld is nooit meer hetzelfde.
Maar wat doe jij dan? Je helpt die kinderen, maar op welke manier kun je dan helpen?
Nou, in eerste instantie gaan wij al met de klas waar die kinderen deel van uitmaken, bezoeken wij een eventuele avondwaken. We gaan naar het condoleren. We gaan met z'n allen naar de kerk. Jazeker, daar is een kringgesprek voor om hun uit te leggen wat het met kinderen doet, met je klasgenootje. Als je broertje, je zusje of je vader of moeder overlijdt. Sommige kinderen hebben dat nog nooit meegemaakt. En juist als je kinderen vroeg leert om met verdriet en met rouw om te gaan, in een veilige omgeving, in een klas, in een kring, links zit iemand naast je, rechts, je wordt getroost. Iemand staat er voor, een volwassene die je liefdevol vertelt dat we er met z'n allen doorheen komen. Zo moet je kinderen, denk ik, leren om met verdriet om te gaan. Dus de hele klas is ook het klasgenootje tot steun. En daarna, na een aantal maanden, als dat kind weer op school is, de cijfers niet meer goed zijn, ze toch niet kunnen slapen, dan spreek ik ze persoonlijk aan en dan zeg ik, zullen we een mooi herinneringsboek maken aan degene die je verloren bent? Wil je er nog eens over praten? En ze willen niet liever, want er is bijna niemand meer die ernaar vraagt. Het is niet meer interessant. Je moet doorgaan en sterk zijn en dan word je geëerd in onze samenleving.
Ja, gek hè?
Heel gek, want we gaan allemaal dood, want we leven, hè? Dat is onze enige zekerheid.
Wat motiveert jou om dit te doen?
Nou, ik ben gelovig en ik denk dat een spreuk die mijn leven bepaalt is, het gaat altijd om God, maar dan geen punt. Bij God gaat het ook altijd om mensen. En toen ik persoonlijk werd geconfronteerd 11 jaar geleden met het plotselinge overlijden van mijn vader, liep ik erg vast. En er was in mijn vriendenkring weinig begrip om het verhaal toch nog eens te willen horen, ook na de begrafenis. En ook al was hij 78 jaar. Toen werkte ik al op het Welland College in Alphen aan de Rijn. En toen gebeurde dat met een kind. En toen dacht ik, hoe moet dat niet voor een kind zijn? En toen ben ik mezelf op gaan leiden om kinderen te begeleiden, omdat ik echt geloof in het gebod wat God zegt, heb je naaste lief als jezelf. En als je op dat moment in een mensenleven niet er kunt zijn voor die ander, dan denk ik dat je dat gebod niet goed begrijpt.
Zo, daar zeg je wat.
Ja, daar zeg ik zeker wat. Want we zijn er als de kippen bij als er een feestje is, als we niet worden uitgenodigd. We vinden het leuk om met mensen op vakantie te gaan. Maar het komt er werkelijk op aan dat je er bent voor een ander, als die ander heeft te maken met ziekte en dood. En dan willen wij ons graag omkeren, want dat doet pijn bij jezelf ook. En dat willen we niet.
Ik proef daar toch een beetje een verwijt van jou in. Want ik denk dat een heleboel mensen niet weten hoe ze ermee om moeten gaan. Maar jij hebt kennelijk een manier gevonden.
Ja, dat verwijt, dat proef je heel goed. Iedereen gaat toch iemand verliezen in zijn leven. Dan kun je twee dingen doen. Je kunt doen alsof dat je niks gedaan heeft. En daarmee word je dus niet meer mens. Of je kunt in die pijn, in dat verdriet gaan. En wij als christenen hebben nog de Heere God die ons altijd trouw blijft, door alles heen. Hij is erbij. Hij wil ons troosten. Maar hij wil ook medemensen gebruiken om ons te troosten.
Ja. Hoe ga je ermee om dat God het ook toelaat dat mensen op jonge leeftijd sterven, dat er verdriet is? Hoe ga je er zelf mee om?
Nou, ik heb daar geen antwoorden op, dus ik leef met die vragen, maar wel met het geloof dat God trouw is. Daar hou ik me aan vast. En meer, als een kind aan mij vraagt bij het lijk van zijn moeder, die hij zelf heeft gevonden. En zegt, juf, waarom...
Dat heb je echt meegemaakt?
Dat heb ik meegemaakt. Dan zeg ik, ik weet het niet, lieverd. Ik weet het niet. Ik zou niet een ander antwoord weten. Ik weet het niet.
Jullie zijn onder de indruk, en velen met mij, denk ik, wat je doet. Je bent een trouwe kijkster van Hour of Power met je gezin. Wat boeit jou in Hour of Power bijzonder?
Wat me vaak aanspreekt, is ook de muziek. En de mensen die erin komen. Want soms heb je van die mensen die dan, als je kijkt, iets in je raken. En dat vind ik altijd heel bijzonder, want ik ga daarna altijd naar mijn eigen kerk. En dan ben je bij wijze van spreken al bemoedigd. Je hebt het vooraf je al gehad en dan ga je naar het diner.
Dat vind ik wel een hele mooie. Nou, jullie, mag ik jou dan het dessert overhandigen? En dat is dit boek, Inspiratie en Motivatie voor Elke Dag. Een prachtig boek waar je elke dag heel simpel een bemoediging krijgt. Geschreven door dominee Schurre. Ik hoop dat ik je er blij
mee ben. Dankjewel, Jan.
Heel fijn dat je er was.
Dankjewel.
En je zei het al dat je de muziek in de Crystal Cathedral zo mooi vindt. En daarom gaan we luisteren naar het geweldige koor, het Crystal Cathedral Choir.
Thank you, choir. Thank you, Don. The Children of the World International Children's Choir. They're here. And these children come from different countries and have faced deep challenges in their young lives. Many of them are orphans. But they have come together through World Help Children's Sponsorship and to praise God and to raise awareness to the needs of children all over the world. They are joined today by DC Talk's Michael Tate. Michael has recently joined World Help as they seek to provide medical clinics for many of the neediest areas in Africa. Most importantly, together, Michael Tate and the Children of the World want to share the love of Christ around the world. Please welcome Children of the World and Michael Tate. Children of the World. They're directed by Mike and Krista Hahn. Right there in the front row. I thought you were really getting into the music. Then I put it together. Oh, they're the directors, you know. Just kidding. But it's a pleasure to have you directing these kids. Michael, how did you get involved with World Help?
I was invited by beautiful people who have a heart for kids. I grew up with a baby of 9 kids in Washington, D.C., and my dad was a pastor in the inner city, and he raised us to love people. And as a musician and as a young man trying to make it through these times in this world today, these kids are my oxygen.
Wow.
I meet them, love them. Their hearts are golden. You can see true innocence and the love of God in their eyes. You can't beat that.
You can't.
No matter how hard you try.
It's spectacular.
Bless it.
Children of the World, we love you. We love your energy. We love your spirit. We love your music. Thank you so much for coming and singing for us, Michael.
Thank you,
same goes for you. We love your energy. We love your spirit. Thank you for your music. You have a great day, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Give the kids one more round of applause. They're terrific. If you'd like to get a copy of their CD, there's some available in the bookstore. Or you can always go online at hourofpower.org and you can get a copy there as well. Kids are great. I have fond memories of when my kids were kids. You know, my kids are all big now. My son's a little taller than I. Depends on what shoes I'm wearing. I try to wear shoes that give me just a little more height when I'm with him because then I'm the same height as he is. You know how that is, Dad. You never want to look up to your son too much. But anyhow, I remember when he was 5 years old and he thought he was 20 years old. And he wanted to go to a birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese. Y'all know what Chuck E. Cheese is? When he was 5 years old, it was the biggest, hottest, raging thing going. And that's where we took them often, at least once a month, and then birthday parties was there. Well, he was going to a friend's birthday party. He's 5 years old, mind you. He's going to his girlfriend's birthday party. He goes, Dad, Mom, don't walk me into Chuck E. Cheese. Anthony, you're 5 years old. We're just going to take you and show you the party. No. I'm going to go find it by myself. And the entire way to Chuck E. Cheese, 10, 15-minute drive there, we argued, okay, we'll drop you off. So we get to Chuck E. Cheese. The parking lot is packed. We see people piling in and piling out. And we said one last time, Anthony, let us take you to the party. He goes, no, just drop me off at the front door. So what we did is we dropped him off at the front door, but we had a big balloon filled with helium, a big green one, because green's his favorite color. In fact, it was one of the first words he learned, believe it or not, green. And I'm keeping my eye on the balloon as he bobs along and bobs along. All of a sudden, I go, this place is so crowded, he's not going to find the party. And I just sat there and watched this balloon walk through Chuck E. Cheese for about 2 minutes. And finally, I walked over to him and I said, Anthony, and his eyes were this big. They were the size of saucers. He looks at me and goes, I can't find the birthday party. And I go, Anthony, I'll help you. And all of a sudden, he had this wonderful peace come over him. He said, here, take my hand. And we walked together. We walked through Chuck E. Cheese and we asked some people, where's Sarah's party? And they go, oh, it's over in this corner. So we walk over there. All of a sudden, he sees the party, and he turns around and glares at me, get out of here. It's like, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'm out. Don't worry. I'm gone. And it's just amazing to see how we hold on to this childish behavior. Where we want to do things all our own and we think we're doing things all on our own. But the fact of the matter is we need a lot of help. And only when we seek and receive and are willing to accept the help do we really get where we want to go in life. And this morning I want to share with you some interesting information. Last week I started talking about the 12 steps. I talked about a gentleman by the name of John C. John C. lived with a creed called AA, the 12 steps. And the first three says, I will admit that I am powerless over my addictions and that my life is unmanageable. And the second one says that I will acknowledge that God is greater than I and that he can bring restoration to my life. And the third one says, I will turn my life over to God. Those are the first three steps of the 12 steps that are used by people who are really struggling with addictions of all sorts and kinds. I had a dear friend of mine, a fishing buddy of mine, that I spent a lot of time with, who just continued to struggle with his alcoholism. He was a Vietnam vet, and
He joined the Navy in hopes that he wouldn't have to spend any time see any real combat. Well, the fact of the matter is, when he joined the Navy, they put him on a riverboat and sent him up the Delta. And he saw all kinds of horrible things. And when he came out of there, he found his comfort in the bottle. And one night, I went over to his house and we had an intervention. I said, "Bill, you know, you need some help." He said, "Yeah, I do." So I drove him up to a place called Capel by the Sea. It was a recovery center, and we checked him in. And a week later, I went and saw him, and he was happy, and he was bright, and he was alert. And he said, "You know, Robert, I've learned something here." I said, "What have you learned?" He said, "I've learned a line that I will take with me the rest of my life." I go, "What's that?" He said, "I can't. He can. Let him." That's what he said. "I can't. He can. Let him." And when I heard him say those words, it summarized the first three steps of the 12 steps better than anything I'd ever heard before in my life. I can't. That's where it begins. There are things in this life that we just cannot control. It might be addictions. It may be outside circumstances. But the fact of the matter is, there are things in life we cannot control. I'll never forget when my daughter, Christina, was 2 years old. She fell from a playset that I had built. I built this thing out of wood. I wanted a wood playset, so I personally built it because I couldn't afford to buy the one that I wanted. So I went out to the hardware store, and I bought 2x4s and a drill, and I put this thing together, and I built this playset. It was a lot of fun building it, and the greatest thing was giving it to her on her birthday. And she was up on this platform, and she fell about 2 feet to another wooden platform. And we didn't think anything of it. She hit her head a little bit. She complained, and she came running over, and we brushed her head. We looked at her, and she was fine, and she went off playing the rest of the day. No signs of any trauma or any event whatsoever. It was a non-event. She simply fell. She hit her head, and we brushed it off and sent her on her way. The next morning, she got up, and I was ruffling her hair. And as I did, I felt a bubble on her head. It wasn't a knot like you'd get when you normally hit your head. It was a bubble like a water balloon under her hair. I said, "Donna, this concerns me. I think we better get it checked out." Well, we did. And she had a skull fracture. Her head was, and her age was at such a time where it wasn't hard. It was like it was hard enough where it cracked, but not strong enough to really do the protection that it's intended to do when they're a little older. And what I was feeling was the spinal fluid leaking from her skull. And that's what that bubble was. Well, we were very concerned, obviously, and we took her to a neurosurgeon who had suggested we do surgery. I said, "The first thing we want to do is get a CAT scan." And so we took her to the radiologist, who said, "You need to somehow hold her still for 4 minutes." Now, Donna was pregnant at the time, so she wasn't allowed to go into the machine because of the radiation. And so that meant I was to go in there alone with Christina, and somehow I had to convince this 2-year-old child, who had absolutely no symptoms whatsoever, who was perfectly healthy and very active, to sit motionless in one of these great big donuts. Well, her head goes in this thing, and she doesn't move for 4 minutes. Is there anyone in here who thinks they could sit still for 4 minutes and not move? I can't. 4 minutes is an eternity. Well, She had just learned how to pray, and she loved to pray. She'd fold her hands, and she'd close her eyes, and she'd hold perfectly still as long as I prayed. And so she sat there on this table, and it moved into the donut. She held her bottle with her teeth, the bottle laid on her chest with her blanket. I said, "Christina, let's pray." She folded her hands, and I said, "Dear God, thank you for Christina. Thank you for the doctors." After about 30 seconds, I said, "Amen." And as soon as I said, "Amen," guess what she did? "Oh, it's time to get up. The prayer's over." "Oh," they said, "you got to hold her still for 4 minutes." I says, "Okay, let's try it again." So this time I started praying. I started praying, "Dear God, thank you for Christina's big toe and her little toe and all the other little toes as well. And thank you for her foot, that beautiful foot which helps her move." And we went up there for 4 minutes. We prayed, and for 4 minutes she sat there and she held her bottle and she held her hands folded until this CAT scan was complete. The good news is she didn't have to have any surgery at all. They said the fluid will simply be absorbed by the body and the skull will heal itself, and that was the end of the story. But it was totally and completely out of my control. I couldn't control the fact that she had to have the CAT scan. I couldn't control the fact that she had to sit there for 4 minutes perfectly motionless. I couldn't control the fact that she had this injury. Everything was out of my control. And there are things in life that are totally and completely out of our control. And we have to realize that there comes a time in our life where we simply have to say, "I can't. I do not have the ability or the means. I can't. But He can." Galatians 6:3 says it this way. "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." He deceives himself. "I can't." But the fact of the matter is that God can. And you read Proverbs and you can hear it so true. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight." I can't, but He can. One of the more interesting trips that I've had in my life was cruising down the Nile River. I flew to Luxor and then boarded a little riverboat. It's similar, the riverboats are similar to the riverboats that they have cruising up and down the Mississippi River. And they're nice little rooms there. And you can cruise down the Nile River and you can see the various sites that are along the Nile. And it concludes at the Aswan Dam. Well, the Aswan Dam was started construction in 1916, was completed in 1972. It has 20 turbines, each one putting out a billion kilowatts a year. In 1972, that dam was dedicated by President Gamal Abdul Nasser. He went in there and he pushed a button. And by pushing that button, the water started flowing through those turbines. The turbines started spinning and started pushing out the energy which lights up Egypt and Sudan and the surrounding territories. The button is not what produces the energy. The button simply releases the energy. The energy is produced by the 200 billion cubic yards of water within the lake that is forced through that dam and spins those turbines and creates the energy. And that's the way it is with us and our relationship with God. push the button by inviting Jesus Christ into our lives. In Revelations, it says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, I will come in to him and I will sup with him. And we push the button. And we allow the power and the force of Jesus Christ to come into our lives and go through our lives and empower us with his spirit and his goodness. But he won't force his way in. We have to get to a point where we say, okay, Lord, we're ready. I've tried to find the party, and I can't find it. I need your help. I've tried to kick this habit, and I can't do it. I need your help. And today, I'm opening the door, inviting you to come in and to make a difference in my life. I can't. He can. Let him. And when he does, things change dramatically. All we have to do is open the door and say, not my will, but thine be done, O Lord. Why don't people allow the power of Jesus Christ to flow through their lives? I believe people still struggle with the whole concept of, am I really good enough? Could God actually love me? Is it possible that here I am, an insignificant human being, and there is a supreme being who's willing and able to make a difference in my life? Today I want you to know God. Because when there is no God, there is no peace. But when you can know God, you can know peace. I want to conclude with a prayer. And the prayer, in fact, I'm going to conclude with this prayer for the next few weeks. It's called the Serenity Prayer by Reinhold Niebuhr. Maybe you're familiar with it. If not, you'll become familiar with it the next few weeks because it's a great prayer. Because I want you to recite it with me as we conclude this message with this prayer. Join me. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Now may the power of our holy Lord Jesus Christ fill your minds with the knowledge and the assurance and the understanding that truly you are a significant part of his kingdom. and that you are the rock upon which he builds his church. You are his church. So go and allow that Spirit of God to flow through you and love everyone always and forever. Amen.
En zo zijn we gekomen aan het einde van deze uitzending van Hour of Power. Wat vliegt de tijd, wat is zo'n uur snel voorbij. Maar op Hour of Power, onze website, zijn we de hele week door te zien. Elk uur van de dag. En dat is natuurlijk geweldig. Ik hoop dat er overigens voor iedereen een bemoediging in dit programma zat. Er zijn heel veel mensen, van jongeren en ouderen, die door een bepaalde situatie moeilijk hebben. Is dat zo en wil je dat er voor je gebeden wordt, dan doen we dat graag. Er is een groot gebedsteam bij Hour of Power. En als je gebedsverzoek instuurt, dan wordt daarvoor gebeden zonder dat jouw naam of uw naam bekend is. En bidden, nou, dat is de keuken waar je leven op drijft. Dus wat weerhoudt u of wat weerhoudt jou? Ons adres verschijnt zometeen in beeld. Wij nemen afscheid van iedereen. Graag tot volgende week bij een nieuwe uitzending van Hour of Power.